Hello, I'm Grady Booch, and this is my column on architecture, Like a River. The life cycle of a software-intensive system is like a river, and we, as developers, are but captains of the boats that ply its waters and dredge its channels. The metaphor of software development as building construction is an old one. I myself have contributed to the rhetoric, and for that I'm not ashamed, for there are meaningful parallels between growing software and raising a structure. If you're building a doghouse, you don't need a set of blueprints. If you're building a house, a high-rise, or a city, having an architectural vision is generally a good thing. There's a difference between significant design decisions, such as where to place the load-bearing walls, and low-level ones, such as choosing the crown molding or carpet. Distinctive styles evoke a particular feel, born of a set of well-chosen patterns. Obduracy grows relative to the structure's size. The symmetry goes on and on. The greatest limitation of this trope, for me, is that the image of building construction never really captures the vibrant dynamics of software development. When we build a house, we do so quite literally from the ground up. When we write a new bit of software, we may start at the edges, or the center, or the bottom, and make progress in fits and starts, with many of the software trades scrambling over the same body of code simultaneously, which is one reason why sound configuration management mechanisms are important, but that's a deeper topic for another day. When we renovate a high-rise or engage in some major urban redevelopment, we're constrained by the physical artifacts before us. When we transform some brownfield software-intensive system, we have no such tangible constraints other than those imposed on us by economic, business, political, legal, and social factors, all of which, of course, also apply in urban redevelopment. I've been struggling to describe the richness of the enterprise software development process. By enterprise, I mean a nameable entity that delivers a product or service with some measurable value. Thus, an enterprise has boundaries, but is rarely completely isolated. It does something useful relative to some set of stakeholders, and its activities can be measured by the market or by other less tangible measures. Some years ago in a lecture, Bjarne Strusjup once confronted me with a definition I'd given. He properly noted that if I couldn't say what a thing wasn't, then I'd not really defined it. With that in mind, I'll observe that an enterprise isn't a product, service, project, or family of interconnected projects, or the architecture of these products and services, of the human organization, although these things are all elements of an enterprise. All economically interesting enterprises are quite dynamic. Indeed, the velocity of money is one measure of economic health, a potentially poignant observation given the current global economic malaise. Thus, the emergent behavior of any relevant enterprise involves lubricating the flow of capital while simultaneously generating real tangible economic value, things that can be done only if that enterprise is vibrant and moving. Furthermore, software-intensive systems are one of the primary mechanisms whereby such dynamic enterprises carry out their mission, which is why software architecture is a profoundly relevant topic. For some, such as eBay, Amazon, and any financial institution still left standing, such as the Bank of Scotland, such systems are their very soul, for without them there could be no business value in contemporary society. For some, such as Intuit and Cisco, software-intensive systems are the products they sell. For others, such as Pixar and the U.S. National Reconnaissance Organization, software-intensive systems are the mechanisms by which they carry out their larger mission. The image of a river offers a fresh way to express the dynamics of the life cycle of an enterprise's architecture. Take a vertical slice through a river, from surface to river bottom, from shore to shore. The architecture of an enterprise's software-intensive systems is akin to the instantaneous structure and behavior of a river captured in that slice. Alternately, consider a river segment, from that slice to a point upstream some distance, and then to a point downstream an equal distance. The life cycle of that architecture is akin to the intentional and accidental morphing of those instantaneous architectures over a region of time. Consider a moment in time of a river, of an enterprise's architecture. There is some mass to it, encompassing its breadth and depth. A small enterprise has correspondingly small cross-section, while a large one is proportionately more massive. The banks of that river, or enterprise, might be sharply defined, or they might be overflowing, as in software that reaches beyond its original intent, or eroding, as in software that is in tension with the world around it. The water might be clear or turbid. The base might be solid bedrock. This might be satisfyingly sound, but at the same time rather resistant to change. Or it might be made of much looser stuff. The movement on the surface, where the river and the software interface with the rest of the world, will likely be moving faster than the water at the bottom of the channel. In the water itself, there may be all manner of assorted things, from bright, shiny fish that delight and enchant to rubbish and carcasses and other buried surprises. Consider the span of a river, of an enterprise's architecture. We might be at the head of a flow where all is bright and fresh and the river has not yet found its way. We might be somewhere in the middle where some rivers flow straight and true while others wander. Also in the middle will be tributaries where new streams of water or software join with the May flow, or confluences where two major flows bash together as in an acquisition. Oxbow lakes may have formed or be in the process of formation, representing older bits of river that have eroded into irrelevance. Sometimes the river might go underground, unseen, only to spring up elsewhere. There might be branches that shoot off and take their own way. We might be somewhere at the end of that river or the enterprise where it flows into the larger ocean. The river or the enterprise doesn't cease to exist, but just morphs zen-like. Be it at the head, the middle, or the tail of a river, if it's vibrant, whole ecosystems will develop along its shore, with life there taking from the river but also adding to its value. Thus begins a curious dance between those on the edge of the water and the water itself, the former continuing to shape the flow to their needs, the latter being the vehicle for their livelihood, but at the cost of accepting that constraint. Sometimes the relationship between those making their living on the river and the river itself becomes dysfunctional, in which case, for software, there are 9 things you can do. See my earlier column in IEEE Software, September through October 2008 issue for more details. Transformation, in the long run, is the most viable approach. I suggested earlier that we as developers are but captains of the boats that ply the waters and dredge the channels. Continuing that metaphor, very few of us have the pleasure of sailing in calm waters. For most, we have to attend to Class 6 rapids, dodge submerged pointy things that might puncture our hulls or otherwise impede our motion, and steer away from sandbars and boulders that might strand us. On larger bodies of waters, in larger enterprises, the occasional storm comes out of nowhere, completely unpredictable and completely out of our control. Our ability to weather those storms is a consequence of our skill, our experience, and raw, naked luck. Oh, and except for the most uninteresting rivers or enterprises, we're not the only ones on the water. Other vessels under the same flag might be present, some smaller, some much larger than ours, and we have to play well with them. If this is a particularly vibrant place, vessels are registered under other flags, and we depend on the rules of the sea, the standards and protocols, so we don't run into one another or otherwise cause grievous damage. Sadly, we might have to contend with those who defy the rule of law, the brigands and pirates who steal our wares and otherwise disrupt traffic and commerce. While most vessels will be piloted for specific missions, there might be larger ones whose purpose is to dredge the bottom, reshape the banks, or even redirect the channel. Except in the case of the truly moribund river enterprise, we need not expect to encounter any captains named Charon. Is the life cycle of an enterprise's software-intensive systems like building a building or the flow of a river? It's not an either-or. I think both metaphors have their value and limitations, and both bring a particular richness to our understanding. But keep in mind, both are only metaphors, and thus are always inadequate substitutes for the richness of the real thing.